Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Sammy.
I'm Aileen.
And we're back.
And we're back and we have no guest today. It's just me and Sammy.
Finally. I've been waiting.
Our relationship is the third guest. Yeah.
it's the third guest in the room.
So today we thought we would talk about, I feel like we've had a really good slate of guests recently.
Agreed. I feel like the podcast has taken a turn for the best.
For the best. And we are both wearing Herborian CC cream this week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this morning. Like I said, I went to Dr. Shari Marchbond the following day. Yeah. And she gave me a routine and I've been doing it.
What's your routine? Tell the fans.
The routine is washing. I've been using micellar water. Then it's for makeup remover. Yes. Yeah. Then it's the discoloration treatment. It's called.
This is day or night?
This is day and night.
Ah.
Then the third step gets switched. The third step is Floratin in the morning, which she gave me.
What is that?
It's like some dropper thing. The two in the middle, uh-huh. I'm about to say four things for each.
Okay.
The two in the middle are from her.
Okay.
So in the morning, it's Floratin. At night, it's she prescribed me Tretinoin, but the generic is, or the OTC is different. So I just went with that.
Okay.
My insurance wanted me to pay $212 for this fucking cream. And like, no, my skin's fine. Relax.
This fucking cream.
Yeah.
What is it? Do you know what it does?
What does it do? I don't remember. Okay, check the podcast.
Okay.
I don't remember. I think it all helps with like discoloration, even skin tone, that okay. kind of thing. Because I don't really have actual acne. So,
okay.
Yeah. And then the last step is a moisturizer. So morning I've been using Supergoop.
Oh, very nice.
With SPF.
Great. And then in the night?
At night, I didn't buy like CeraVe or anything. I've just been using like many of the night creams that I have.
That we have.
Because we get sent night creams all the time. And like,
all the time, night creams.
No, we do. No, like,
no, I
we
know,
do.
We do. I've used all of them.
And also it just starts to run up a bill after a while. So like, I'm getting scrappy.
Okay.
You know?
So scrappy.
Yeah.
So I also bought Herborian CC cream makeup. Yeah. It's great.
I love it.
I don't know if I bought the right tone. Like, I feel, I didn't, because
did you buy Claire?
No. That's I bought the one in the middle. I bought Golden because my skin is a little darker, but I didn't even put on bronzer today. Does it look too weird? Tan?
No.
Do I look tan?
No, you do look tan.
Okay. In an unnatural way.
No, not in an unnatural way. Although I did just get a compliment from Kay that I look tan. It's also because I've been using
you
the Super Goop Sunless Tanner.
Oh.
I'm testing it out for the wedding to see if it'll work.
Don't do that.
Why? You can't even tell.
Don't do sunless tanner for the wedding.
No, it actually.
You think?
Look, do you see anything gross on my arms?
Gross. I don't mean gross. I just mean, what if you're like a color that you don't want to be in pictures?
That's why I'm testing it out now to see.
Is somebody taking professional photos of you in natural lighting?
You know, maybe I will ask somebody to do that.
Let's do a photo shoot
maybe
in
I'll
the light.
Pull out the camera that I have. Ask Avi to go to outside.
You have to go outside, natural light, and pose.
Okay.
Put on a gown.
Put on my, yeah. Well, maybe I'll do it. And then when I get the next fitting, I'll do it there.
That's a good, but does it not come off on the dress?
Honestly,
that's what I worry about the most.
It's not like a spray tan. I think that the sunless tanners you've used in the past have just not been as good as this one.
I've never used sunless tanner. I've only
You've seen other people use.
Yeah, and I've only used like a spray tan.
Right. I also have used a spray tan, but I did a spray tan trial in Florida, and I'm just afraid that it's going to come off all over the dress. So I'm going to use this. It literally is so light and natural.
I'm stressed for you.
I know. But I honestly think it's light and natural, and I recommend it. And I'm not being paid. Light and refreshing. Supergoop Sunless Tanner. It's like very, it has SPF in it. Like, okay. Do I look
No, fake? You're yeah. This looks right.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is the result.
Okay,
normally,
but we're
I'd be
in
super
a yellow
pale.
Toned room, so I would really recommend getting a profesh cam.
I have one. My mom bought it for me for Hanukkah like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I remember. And and go in the natural light or the lighting in which you will be photogged.
Florida light.
Yeah, Florida light.
Natural Florida light.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
The wedding is in 2 months and 5 days. 6 days. Holy shit.
That is wild.
I'm freak, like 67.
I sent my RSVP back.
I got it. It
my,
said
my flight.
Yeah, bitch.
Yes, no, I wrote yes, bitch.
Yeah, that was what, you had the best. You were the only. You were the only response card so far with a curse word on it.
You can count on me to make things inappropriate.
I mean, it's really just I'm seeing
I know.
It.
I knew that you were getting it.
Guys, as many of you know, I've been on an alcohol-free journey. Please don't hold it against me that I just said journey, but I have. And one thing that I've really missed on this journey is beer. But now with Athletic Brewing, I'm able to get that delicious beer-like taste in my mouth without any of the alcohol. It's amazing. Just so you guys know, I used to love sours. I'm a big sour drinker and I really miss that taste. And now I don't have to miss out on it. It's amazing. Whether you're trying to cut back or you just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is often a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet fruity sours? Now you can enjoy this style without the hangover the next day. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic brews bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code DST to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's code DST at checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer, exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company, fit for all times.
So today we thought we just would have a chat, me and Sammy. Also got a lot of DMs Carly put up. And there was a big article that came out on BuzzFeed after the Taylor Swift documentary, which we talked about on the At Betches podcast. But basically, in the Taylor Swift documentary, Sammy loves Taylor Swift. I'm very neutral. She
That has been an evolution for me. It has been, which I can speak of.
Okay, wait, but before you speak about your evolution about you and Taylor,
I think there's a lot that people can learn from her. And if you watch the documentary, I think a lot of people can relate to it. Did you watch it?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, I did. And I talked about it on At Betches. But so anyway, so what I really liked about part of the documentary was that she sat and talked about her disordered eating. And what I didn't like was that I wish she would delve deeper into it. It was a very casual conversation, but I can see that as like a, that is how she relates to that about herself. It is very casual and she wasn't ready to talk about it just yet. So she only kind of dipped her toes, but I have a feeling that there's going to be a part two about that.
Well, I think that, okay. So basically after she came out, should we give the background on the documentary explain like what conversation came out of it?
Yeah,
I think the conversation
everybody should see it.
The conversation that came out of it, I think, actually really connects with this podcast and what we talk about all the time, which is sort of this like low level disordered eating. Maybe you're not in like a full blown eating disorder, but like you're definitely not healthy.
It's what Lisa's episode was about. Hey,
yeah, exactly.
Well, necessities.
Exactly. So Taylor Swift. What I loved so much about this is that she really, I felt that she was truly being honest about who she is and revealed sort of, like, the rationale behind all of the, like, dumb press moves she made and, like, this constant trying to, like, why we have all felt she was manipulative for so long. And the essence of it is that she sort of just feels like she needs to, like, be good and make everyone happy and make everyone love her. Mm-hmm. And that is sort of, like, led to her being, like, this almost like a polarizing figure because of her attempt to like always like be good and like do the right thing and also appear that she's doing the right thing.
Like be a good girl. That's what I thought.
Be a good girl is like literally what she said, which I related to this so hard. Like this constant feeling like I need to just like be, you know, positioning that I'm like making everyone happy and like that no one's like mad at me and that like I'm appealing to like people and that is what she's obviously struggled with.
Yeah.
And that's why like I used to say I love Taylor Swift's music. Like literally I could listen to it forever, but I have issues with her as like a public figure.
Yeah.
But I've always found her to be like fascinating as a public figure and now I understand why, because it's all just in the service of like trying to like impress people. And we all know what that's like as women, like to just feel like I'm not good enough. I have to be good in this way. I have to be good in that way. I have to be like the perfect partner, the perfect, you know, career, like the perfect career person, yeah, the perfect friend. Like, I need everyone to love me. That's why she did the whole squad thing.
Yeah.
So, and then she talked about her eating. She talked about her political evolution, which we'll say we have talked about on the sub-podcast, so we won't talk about it here.
To be honest, I felt like the documentary was sort of this excuse, is like she was asking for permission for her to take the political stage. Like, it was almost counterintuitive to her message a little bit. Like,
I didn't feel that she was asking permission. I think she was finally like explaining why it was so hard for her, because there's a whole swath of the country that thinks that Taylor Swift represents like white nationalism, and like the alt-right thinks that Taylor Swift was like their girl because she thing.
As you say that, you're like holding up your arm.
I'm holding my arm up in a almost a Heil Hitler-y way and by accident.
Okay.
No, there's a whole swath of the country that idolized her as like this perfect like essence of whiteness.
Yeah.
And I think that she was afraid of what she would lose if she actually said what she thought, and that's why she like,
and it was dangerous.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's why she showed her decision making.
I get it.
Yeah,
no, I totally get that. And I liked the documentary. Honestly, forgot about everything I just watched like 10 minutes after I watched it, because I felt like it wasn't deep enough for me. But again, that's why I feel like there might be a part two.
I would love a part two.
You know what I mean? But, okay, so let's talk about the disordered eating scene. So she's in a car. She's in the back of her car. And she's talking about how she used to see... So she was very thin before. Now what she says, she's a size 6 now. But before, she was way smaller. And that wasn't, like, accidental.
It's not good for me to see pictures of myself every day, because I have a tendency, and it's only happened a few times, and I'm not in any way proud of it, but I tend to get triggered by something, whether it's a picture of me where I feel like I looked like my tummy was too big, or like someone said that I looked pregnant or something, and that'll just trigger me to just starve a little bit, just stop eating.
Which to me was completely like news, because I always saw her, like when she was that thin, I always just saw her as a child still, or a teenager.
I agree with that.
Even though I didn't really know her, like she's our age, 1989.
Yeah. Oh
so,
yeah.
So
best album of her discography, although Red is debatably better. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
what was I just saying? Oh,
thin.
When she would step out, like very, very kind of lanky, thin, I just thought like, oh, she's still in that phase, and not really recognizing that I'm like 27 and like we're the same age.
I thought that too. I was like, oh, she's just like our thin friend.
25, yeah.
Like I was like, oh,
she's
obviously
very thin.
But I always thought that was kind of her natural like waif, like
same.
I didn't see her as like too thin. I didn't like as in like, oh yeah, when you look at someone who's like very clearly not eating at all.
She was thin. I thought it was just normal for her.
Me
natural
too.
Because she started off like her career as a teenager in this like country vibe, like big hair, like lanky, kind of
tall,
very tall. And so I just very tall.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just thought that was like natural, but it was so interesting to hear her talk about that with the visuals like overlaying her walking red carpets that thin, that I thought like, wow, she was so beautiful. But I didn't know, like at the time I thought like, wow, like what an idol of thin svelteness. But now thinking back, she was starving herself a little, quote unquote.
Yeah, she said that she would see like a picture where someone would say she looks pregnant, or if like, you know, she looks like she has the pouch, which we all have all the time, that she would say like, that would trigger me to just starve a little bit, just stop eating. At one point she said like, I told people that I was like exercising, but I was also eating, but in reality, like I wasn't eating.
Yeah.
And she also said that this I thought was like very interesting, because she's a performer, like the amount of calories you must expend performing a show for 3 hours or 2 hours or however long it is. As she said, she was like, I thought that I was just supposed to feel like I was going to pass out at the end of a show or in the middle of it. I thought that was how it was. So like clearly she was not eating enough to give herself the energy she needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that spoke to me so much, because I think about how like in college I would just like not eat till like 5 p.m. and I was like, oh, like I guess I'll just feel not optimal.
Or how we used to talk about, like, oh, there's just like these women who are just thin, and the way that they stay that way is just eat like a bird.
Like a Lisa Rinna.
Like a pick, peck, and a peck, and like they're full, you know? Right. So, and then
there are women who I think train themselves to do that, and mm-hmm. then they continue it their entire life. Like, I can name, I'm not going to, but like there definitely are.
But in people. Reality, like, it was so nice and refreshing to hear Taylor like recognize that it wasn't making her feel good to be that way, and that she actually is saying that, like, the size that she is now, having started to eat and been eating more, actually gave her energy, actually made her feel good, and just sort of accepting this is the way my body's supposed to be, and that's it. And then I really like that shift, because I feel like I can relate to that, like, wherever we're the same age, like, you know?
Yeah.
So then I thought it was interesting when she's like, sometimes I'll see a picture and I want to just like stop eating. But then I say to myself, we don't do that anymore. Like, that's not us. We do not do that anymore. And it's kind of funny, because the way that she's talking to herself, like coaching her, like her, that devil that's there is like, you must be thin. Like, it's actually, it's also really refreshing to hear that, like, people are going through like these. She's this insane, most famous performer ever. And she's just dealing with this dumb shit, this shit. And it's not actually like that we're all dealing with.
It is, that is the plight of women. Yeah. We all have to deal with this. We all have to deal with, like, oh, you're too thin, you're too fat, you're too tall, you're too everything. Like, your skin's not good enough. All this shit is constant. And that's why the beauty industry is able to get us to spend thousands of dollars to prepare for our weddings.
More than thousands, but yeah.
No, and it is in the thousands. Okay, we're not in the millions yet.
Well,
just high thousands. Of thousands
over a lifetime.
Over a lifetime, yeah.
But also, I thought, something that hit home with me was when she was like, these women have this big ass, and they tell me, like, I need to have that ass. But when I have that ass, I can't have a flat stomach. And then when I want a flat stomach, I can't have that ass. And that's like, no one said that ever. Like, no one says that online, like, ever.
Well,
like,
that's the problem with the fact that our society glorifies the fucking Kardashians, who have
both
so little to offer in terms of, like, progressing our, like, where we are, but in terms of our headspace.
But I mean, just even like, forget that. Like, I just they have that, but they have so much money to get it. And then there's Taylor, who's wants it, but like is taking the other route of sort of accepting her body as the way it is. You know what I mean? And like not ignoring those feelings of I need, oh my God. Not ignoring those feelings and just kind of keep going and like listen to her body and like give it what it wants instead of starving herself and like getting ass implants.
Well, I think that the other piece of that is that like Taylor's able to do that because, and okay, so there was this.
Also, she would look weird with ass implants.
The other piece of it is that, so there's this article that came out on BuzzFeed, which was like basically about how she had talked about this, and the theme of it is sort of like that gray area of eating disorder or disordered eating, that phrase didn't exist really like 10 or 15 years ago to like diagnose yourself with.
Yeah.
And I think the reason Taylor Swift is able to say we don't do that anymore is because she was only ever in this gray area.
Yeah.
She wasn't like in the past we've had like Jessie on the podcast talking about like her severe eating disorder. Like, I don't think Jessie could just be like, we don't do that anymore. Yeah. Like, it's not that simple for her. Like, or for people who have full-blown eating disorders that land them in bed for weeks at a time. Like, it's just not the same for everyone. But I think that, the people who have, like, sort of the far end of the spectrum of eating disorders are the ones who get the attention of, like, oh, well, if I'm not like that, I might not, I'm fine. Like, I'm normal. Like, but actually, so many of us live in this, like, this area where food is constantly on our minds, but we don't look emaciated or we don't. Like, and we're not, you know, throwing up after every meal and we're not completely starving ourselves. But the way that we approach food is deeply unhealthy, where we'll like, you know, maybe I'll become a vegetarian just so I like can now have like easier rules around meat.
Yeah.
Or what like Lisa was saying, that she was like the healthy girl and she would get a salad while everyone was drunk eating. Like, but in reality, that wasn't healthy. It was actually just kind of disordered. It's
a way for her to control herself. Right. I've actually recognized that I still kind of have it, like, in a major way. Like, I thought I've been, like, on this journey of fixing, but not really when I tried to stop calorie counting. And, like, I can't even explain to you what kind of revelation it was. Like, not calorie counting made me feel this, like, I felt like a chicken without the head. That's what they say.
Running around like a chicken.
I felt out of control despite the fact that I intrinsically know what I should and shouldn't be eating. But I still felt or feel out of control. Like, and then I was trying to really, like, reflect about it. Like, what is it about that, like, you feel so out of control? And it's that I feel like if I don't put it in this calculator that I will get fat, despite the fact that if I'm like, take a day where I'm eating without counting the same thing that I'm doing with counting, I feel like I've gotten fat on the left day, you know, the first day.
Right. It's an emotional thing.
So I realized I can't go cold turkey. So we're figuring that out now.
Well, okay. I do just want to say something that may be disappointing, but also potentially hopeful.
Yes.
And this applies to me. This applies to, I'm sure, so many listeners.
Yeah.
Ultimately, like, people have lifelong struggles, like, yeah, that they struggle with. Some people have anger issues. Some people have relationship issues. Some people have issues with food. Maybe it's issues with money. Like, they can't stop spending or whatever. It might just be that this is sort of our lifelong,
yeah,
thing, that there will be hills and valleys. There will be times where you feel more okay and more healed. And there will be times when you feel probably, like, out of control, yeah, obsessive about it. And I think that we just have to accept that it's not, like, this is sort of the challenge that your brain chemistry and your, and whatever it is,
upbringing, yeah,
has, and your upbringing has kind of landed you with, or, and me too.
I'm on the path of accepting it. I really, yeah, am. Like, I've felt like I have, and the thing that I'm working on, the thing that I think is the recovery, or the way to recover, is, like, practicing self-compassion.
Yeah.
And, like, allowing yourself the hills and valleys, allowing, like, saying it's okay to not be perfect. It's okay if you do have to count one day. You didn't fail. It's okay if it's celebrating the wins, not really feeling bad about the losses. And it's so much, it sounds like, yeah, obviously, but, like, when you're feeling it or you're practicing, it's like this, it's a real practice. Like, it's not,
it's work.
It's real work. Like, I have turning 30, I have figured out, like, what people say when it comes to, like, how much work it takes for self-development.
Yes. It is, like, so hard.
We talked about this, yes, the other night.
Yes.
Like, how you, like, you can't let anything fall to the wayside, anything.
Well, but you also can't have guilt if it does. That's the thing.
I mean, over the course of a long period, oh, yeah, of time.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just be passive about anything in your life, and you have to, like, constantly, in a soft way, like,
right,
in a soft, forgiving way, work or be, like, more mindful, identify what you're doing and what you're not doing, and things about you that you want to make better over a long period of time. Like, nothing, like, 10 years I'm talking, like, not, yeah, like, this isn't a quick, no, fix scenario.
People really can't change on, like, the time. Yes, you can make some changes in a year, but the real time horizon, yeah, you need to, like, actually make progress is, like, 5 to 10 years. Like, and, like you're saying, like, it really is work. Like, it's constant training your brain. Like, I've spoken to my therapist about this so many times. Like, she's said I should go on, like, an SSRI, and it would be easier for me to not feel constant anxiety about the very shit that I feel SSRI, anxiety.
That's
like an antidepressant.
Antidepressant,
or,
yeah,
like, but it wouldn't really be for, like, depression. It's really for anxiety.
Yeah.
She said to me, like, you could go on an SSRI. Things would be much easier for you. And I'm like, honestly, like, I don't want to. I've, like, had a bad experience with one. Like, I just don't really want to. And she's like, okay, well, then you're gonna have to work really hard. Every time you have an anxious thought, you're gonna have to do these exercises, and you can't just give up because you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you have to, like, keep doing it, or you're not gonna actually, you're gonna keep experiencing the high levels of angst and, like, threat that you, mm-hmm, feel.
Yeah.
So
it's just, it's like a crazy revelation,
but,
to have.
But the thing is, I think there is a space to be, like, happy or appreciate the things that come easier to you, because you have things that
yeah,
that other people need to work super hard on that you're like, okay, like, I got that. Like, maybe you're better at, like, managing your money or, like, something like that. Like, it could be anything.
In these last like few weeks that I've sort of had these mental changes or mental shifts, I have like noticed that I feel so much more grateful for a lot of things. Like I used to write down things I'm grateful for, but I had so much trouble like writing something that wasn't, like, didn't feel quote unquote cheesy.
Or like that you were just saying because you felt obligated to say it.
But now I write the cheesy things and I feel connected to those cheesy things, you know, rather than before I was like, yeah, well, fucking obviously I'm grateful for my health. But like, really, I am. Like, I feel like, am I grateful for like my family living close? Like the little tiny things, like I feel, I like feel like you feel this connection to it. Like your heart goes with the words you're writing.
Yeah, it's true. And honestly, I actually think that the one advantage of my anxiety has been that it actually has sparked gratitude in me, because I have so much anxiety about loss of things or people or I told you I can envision myself like walking across the street getting hit by a car every time. Like, just I have these like very vivid fears, and so on the flip side, it's easy for me to be like, I'm so grateful that I'm safe and healthy and my legs work and everything works, thank God. Like, it's so, because I'm so afraid and these like fears are so vivid for me, I can like really feel what it's like to have them, which I didn't used to be able to feel.
I went to a dinner with friends and I like also told them like I have these crazy like vivid like visions of scary shit like all day. Like if I cross a bridge, like I see the flying off, like I get prepared every time.
I know.
And they're like, that's like not, like, not everyone really, that's not like that, I don't want to say normal, but they're like, that's not that normal. Maybe you should talk to your therapist about it.
No.
And I, like, haven't ever, because I thought it was normal. Like, most people, like, think about death 24/7. And they're like, no, not really. No,
just us.
Yeah.
And maybe a few other people. No,
not just us. I think you said this to me the other day. Maybe it's not normal, but it's common.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh, like maybe, but I'm kind of scared to talk to my therapist. But I don't really want to be dramatic. No, I don't want to be like, well, I thought of this other thing where I'm crazy.
I literally go and I list. I'm like, these are the things that I thought of. Like, I'll envision, like, I'll be cutting vegetables in the kitchen and I'll envision myself cutting off my own finger. Like, these deep.
It's normal.
Common. Right, like these fears that come out of, I could cry right now, like they come out of nowhere. My brain can't not make them. And my therapist asked me, she's like, is this getting worse for you? And I'm like, yeah, it is getting worse actually. And I think the reason it's getting worse is because my life has gotten better, so the fear of loss has gotten so like
mine is acute. Because we've gotten older and you're so much less invincible now, like you feel
I don't take things for granted anymore.
But like even just you've seen me, like I will not jaywalk. and you're both, you and Jordana are like, you're fucking nuts. And I'm like, you must be a predictable walker. Like you need to cross when it's correct. And maybe but that's then a new form of control.
No, it like, is I don't know. Think about a few weeks ago in Manhattan, like this woman was walking just a brick fell on her or some from construction site, and like she's being a predictable walker, I'm sure, but there's just freak accidents that happen, and like we can't take it for granted even for one second that like we're just here and it's okay. Like it's really crazy.
Yeah,
it's like we think, oh, if I just try to control everything it'll be fine, but there's so many things that are out of our control, and I know it's so painful to accept that, but all I guess you can do is appreciate what you have when you have it.
I definitely work on trying to accept it. Like, I'll just be like, okay. Like, I try to take Jordana's mindset, which is very, like, she and Alexa always say they have a strong death drive. Like, and I'm just like, you know, like, they love turbulence. They love all this shit that I would, you know, just be the happiest girl if I never had to experience it.
Right. But then you find something else to vote. Your brain.
I know that. Yeah. I know that. But I'm just saying I'm trying to work on, like, that mentality of like you can't control everything or most things.
Well,
it's a process.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Here's the thing I've learned about myself recently through therapy is that my anxiety, and I think you may have this too, presents almost like an OCD person. Like I don't have the symptoms of OCD where I'm like checking the lights or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It just keeps persisting. Like the thought just comes back and back and back. And she taught me this exercise to do, and it had like 4 steps in it. The first is like you have to
label. Give me an example.
Okay, here's an example. Avi's going skiing on Monday, and in my mind I'm like, you shouldn't be skiing so close to the wedding, like you're gonna break your legs or something. And I'm already envisioning him on crutches at our wedding on the dance floor.
Yeah,
like I'm like and I'm terrified. I'm like,
I picture the fall. I picture like the traumatic event of the scary thing, not the result after. Like I picture like what it's like to hurt yourself so traumatically, and then like all of that scary shit like over and over again.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Like so you have the OCD thing, I think. But I'm just gonna I'm a therapist, but
I definitely have OCD. In the article when she
you
was like
do have
a- in the, I mean come on. In the article when that girl, the most relatable thing to me in that article, in the BuzzFeed article, when she's like, I'm a type A and like I'm the kind of person who like thinks everything is achievable if you create a plan to get there.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
I'm like, what's a plan?
But anyway, but, so you were saying anyway,
so the exercise is that there are 4 steps. The first is that you have to like label the thought and say like, what is this thought? Like, am I catastrophizing? Is it like I'm not accepting something or tolerating a reality? Am I criticizing myself? Like, what is that?
Uh-huh.
The second, so you label it as like a thought. So in, I'm catastrophizing that I will break his legs and then won't be able to like,
yeah,
be like dancing right, at our wedding face.
Okay.
So I'm, that's, so I can label, that's a catastrophe.
Like, what are the other labels?
Self-criticism, judgment, like you're not non-acceptance. Like when I'm in the subway and it's so loud and I'm like so fucking mad that it's so fucking loud and I can't hear my podcast. That's a non-acceptance thought. I'm not accepting that the subway is making noise.
Okay.
Then the second step is to attribute it. So either to like my anxiety or like my obsessiveness or my like depressive thoughts or like fear. Okay. So attribute it. I'm pretty good at the first 2 steps.
Okay.
The third and fourth steps are basically that you're supposed to like revalue something and like refocus. So in that time, I'm supposed to focus on like, she said I should focus on like Bruce's ears flopping around because it's so cute.
But what does that have to do with Avi skiing?
To get your mind off of these fears and onto something that is like happening in the moment that I value, that I care about.
Okay.
I have a hard time taking the steps from one and two to go to like three and four, which is to like,
what's four?
It's basically put your mind on another task. So like, let's say Avi skiing is like, I've said, okay, that's a catastrophizing because I'm anxious. The third step would be like focusing on
like right now.
What do you mean right now?
What would you refocus on right now?
Like the fact that we're doing this.
Okay.
Which I'm not having trouble with at the moment. Okay. But like, let's say that he had just texted me something. I broke my legs. Like okay. I couldn't, you know?
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to focus on something that you like value. Okay. So like if I want to make a great podcast, I'm focusing on like making this as good as possible, being in the moment here so that okay. I'm not thinking about like him breaking his legs.
Got it.
You know? So, okay. But the hard part for me is
the second half. The recovery of it.
Right. The recovery of it. Like I'm good at labeling it. But then the issue is that because the anxiety is so like persistent, it just goes to a different thought. Then it's like, oh, I'm going to like chop my hands off. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. It goes to a different thing.
You're going to another catastrophe.
Yeah. Right. And that's what the hard work is that you have to keep doing it. Like, I can't just do it once and then it's over. Like, you have to keep doing it all day so that your brain learns, like brain plasticity, like Lisa said, your brain has to learn, I can do something differently.
Interesting. I'm gonna try that.
You should. It's good. I usually just swallow
my like anxiety, and I'm just like, all right, you just have it. You're gonna get off this bridge soon.
Well, I think that probably like works, but it's like a, you know, it's a band-aid.
It comes back.
That's right. That's what the issue is, that it, because you have the anxiety, so it's gonna find its new. It's gonna find a new path.
Just avoid bridges.
You can't. I know. You're supposed to expose yourself to the things you're anxious about. I'm like, oh, no, thanks.
I know. Now I have so much stomach anxiety. I feel it.
Right now?
Yeah, from like just envisioning being on a bridge.
But right now we're focusing on making the best podcast because we value helping people. We value...
I'm not even on a bridge.
I know.
I'm just like, my imagination's so vivid. Like, so I can place myself in a place.
Well,
something.
You're a very visual person. I think we're both pretty visual.
Yeah.
So that doesn't help.
Yeah. Should I go to a Reiki specialist? Have you thought?
Yeah. I went to a Reiki when I was a child, and my mom brought my brother to do Reiki.
Yeah.
It was called craniosacral therapy, but it's basically Reiki.
Yeah.
And I did. She would do it to me. And I still ended up this way. So.
But you have to be open, I think, to these kinds of changes.
Yeah, I wasn't open when I was like six. I was like, why the fuck are we doing this?
I'm considering doing all this spiritual stuff.
Honestly, people who I think have faith, and I'm talking in this situation about like my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
I think she is like, she's just like, you know, it's just, you know, it's in God's hands.
Yeah.
There is a person. There is
a way.
When
do we talk about that?
Probably this weekend.
Oh, it was in Aspen.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Oh, yeah. It's like she can just be like, it's in God's hands. And she's like, fine with that. But then I think I'm like, she hasn't maybe had the same traumatic experiences that I've had.
Yeah.
And I can say that didn't work for me. Oh, it's in God's hand. That didn't work for me. So I don't know. But there is a way that you can see
it. But it still is a mindset.
It is a mindset. It's a good mindset if
when
you can get it.
When you believe that there's something greater than you and you're not focused on yourself 24/7, I think that is a tool to help you get your mind out of like these sort of really scary, dark holes.
But I'm wary of saying that this is like an all-around solution. No. Having myself been religious and felt like the sense of faith and like what it does and what it means, and then also having had like my own experiences of trauma that are out of control, and then it's sort of like, oh, but I thought, you know, everything's supposed to be for a reason and everything has meaning and there's no accidents, and then you have the pain of those things and you're like, how do I reconcile that with this faith that I'm supposed to have? So it's much easier said than done. And I'm saying, like, from her perspective, it's not like she hasn't lost a child, like she hasn't, you know, lost a parent in a tragic way. Yeah, thank God she hasn't lost a child.
Knock on wood.
Like there are certain things that she has that it might be, I see, you know, her life and her family, and it's very happy, and that it might be easier for someone who has kind of great to feel that way.
Yeah, I
but
get it.
But you know, then there are also, you know, there are Holocaust survivors who stayed faithful to God. You know, like they still believed in God. You know,
yeah. And then and it's like a place where they question. Like, there's plenty of religious people where things happen to them, and they yeah. still even sometimes their faiths get stronger.
That is, yeah, that is the case. So I mean, I think it depends on the person. Like, do you think that a higher power, maybe that's something worth pursuing? Not in any particular religion. I'm even yeah. saying, like, the idea of having something bigger than you that you feel that you can, like, rest your faith with or your comfort, you know.
I'm going to look into it. let you know, guys.
Is this going to become a religious podcast?
No. Not religious. Not. More like spiritual. About, like, energies.
Yeah. I mean, some
I'm
people.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like every time, I know this is so weird. So my friend Marielle is like, has spent a lot of time like working on her spiritualism.
Oh yeah. And I've had long at your rehearsal dinner, we talked about this the whole time.
I'm a very like sponge porous like person. Not that my pores are big, but like, you know what I mean? I can suck whatever is around me. And I've noticed that anytime I see her in person or I'm on the phone with her, like these things happen to me. I swear. Yeah. Like whether it's I have some like this one. I told her this. She's like, this isn't me. She's like, this isn't because of me. I'm like, but it is.
Like what?
She did this. So we were just talking, and I was just like asking about how her like sometimes like her when she feels like her energy is like high or something. How like how she feels or I don't know. And she did this like physical motion to me, which was. Just as to explain what she sees, this sounds crazy, but she like did this thing to me like that, and like
oh, she grabbed
she was showing me like she, but not on purpose. She was just showing me like this is what it would be like, and I would look this way, and then I was like, oh, okay. But then the next day, I had no energy, like my skin got like. My skin sallow. Got pimply, like, and I was like, Marielle, you're a fucking witch.
That's like, crazy.
What did you do to me? She's like, that wasn't me. What are you talking about? She's like, are you getting your period? I was like, kind of, but she's like, no, like I couldn't have. But she's like, that's very interesting, but like maybe, I mean, maybe you're becoming more spiritual, and they say that when that does happen, like your energy does like start to like drain a little bit, or like, and I was like, okay, like maybe. But then after that phone call, I like had these really weird spirit things happen to me. Like I was laying in bed, I swear guys, that like I had a puff, like I felt a puff of air in my face. Like I was, Rusty wasn't home, and I like opened my eyes and I'm like, where did that come from? And
the draft?
Like no, because okay. I was facing the closet. I swear, like these, there's like things, so I'm like, talk to Mario. Like, I was like, take me to your Reiki one.
Wait, didn't you go to a medium?
Yeah, but that was like a year or more ago.
Did you, what did you feel about the medium?
Fine. I didn't feel like particular. She said a couple things that I didn't really like. She said some interesting things that came true. But like, again, could have not.
Yeah, I mean, my mom has been trying to get me to go to a medium to contact our family members.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, I'm terrified. Like,
it's scary.
I just
want
to talk to my grandma.
Fuck.
Like, there's so many things I think, and I'm like, she would love this. Like, I did my wedding decor sample. Second one, yeah. I want to show you. It looks so pretty. I can't hold it in. I just think, like, she, like, I want her to see it. Like, I want her to, like, see who I am now. Like,
yeah.
I can't.
You should. But, well, like, but regardless of whether you talk to her, she, like, you know, like it's she'll still see it. You know what I mean?
Right. Maybe she's here. You're like, yeah. But okay, here's the thing with like the energy and the spirituality is that like, yes, I do believe that it is real. There is substance to it. But I also think there is a risk of like putting all of your, not eggs in one basket, but like putting sort of like all of your faith in one thing and being like, this will solve my problems, or like,
oh,
this
yeah.
will explain everything. Because I think that sort of set me up for disappointment of feeling like, oh, it's all in control. I have like a cohesive understanding of like why things are, and like it's all being guided for me. And I think that's not really like a level that's possible to like live on, because
I go
through changes. And
but I don't think necessarily that that's also like the only that's whatever religion that they don't always say like everything is guided. There's no, like, the destiny, like, you can choose.
Oh yeah, you like, choose. There's what, like, free will.
What? No, I'm saying you can choose whatever you believe. What you choose to believe.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, I'm saying whether, like, whatever path you pick, whether it's Buddhism or anything.
Yeah,
I think that, like, being too certain of anything is dangerous and also contradicts the idea of faith, because the idea of having, like, faith or, like, belief in something is only works because you don't have proof. So it's like the, like,
right,
otherwise it would be like, otherwise it'd be like, be I made facts. An observation right, of correct. A fact. So I think the, like, the idea is that you, like, you can't ever have something fully proven to you, because that would undermine the, like, belief element.
But when you believe in something, there's no proof.
I know. Just, that's the idea behind it.
But
I'm saying,
but even in, when you do, you're not 100% certain. You just believe in a certainty, but you're not necessarily saying it is certain.
Right. I know. But that's why I'm saying, like, there is a danger in being, like, 100% sure. That's at least how I feel. I don't want to say that to, like, everyone, like, oh, right. That's a fact,
but
obviously.
I
feel a danger in feeling 100% yeah. sure of anything.
I see.
I feel like if I get too invested in, like, one thing as, like,
well, because you almost have extremist, like, a tendencies.
I do. Also, but there's, like, sort of like a savior syndrome of, like, oh, like, this will save everything. Mm-hmm. This thing will fix everything. And I think that that's not possible, because it's just, like, the shortcut that show, like, it's to prevent us from having delusion. To do the work.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, if I just, like, invest in, like, this idea or, like, this, these actions or this, you know, spiritual healer or whatever it is, like, then I it'll solve my issues.
Well, that's why I'm trying to take the mindset of just exploring.
Yeah, yeah, no.
You just, like, take tidbits of things just to, like, open your mind a bit. But anyway, okay, I don't know where we went from Taylor Swift to, like, my ghosts in my apartment.
What are people gonna think of this convo,
I
wonder?
I have no idea.
Let us know.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
We didn't do the weirdest thing I do today. I think do you have a weird thing?
I mean, I think this whole conversation was pretty weird.
Yeah, I have a ghost, so I talked to it. Yeah. Casper's in my apartment.
What's the weird thing?
The weirdest, it's not really a weird thing that I do. It's these, so I'm getting LASIK next week, and I had a consult earlier this week, and before the consult you have to wear glasses for 2 weeks, so you can't wear contacts, and now I have to keep wearing my glasses, so it's going to be like a month. I've never worn my glasses outside of my, like, bedroom or the airport ever.
What about the living room?
I know. I go immediately to the bathroom. I put in my contacts. Like, I never wear my glasses. And so I was even talking to my therapist. She's, like, laughing. She's like, this is, like, kind of funny. Like, you just did this thing that you I remember, like, when I would run out of, I'm starting to run out of contacts, I would be like, oh my God, like, I need to get them. It's a catastrophe. But right. Really, it's not, because I have glasses.
Like a drug addict to your contacts.
But it's funny, because I'm like, what will people see when they see me in my glasses? Like, it's this new, it's like a new look for a person, like, just constantly walking around. And she was like, it's like a funny, it's kind of funny. And it's, like, interesting. I'm like, it's like a social experiment. And I, like, did it. And, like, I had no fears of anything. It was kind of great, and I feel like I wouldn't be able to do it if I was younger.
Yeah, probably because you were more, like, stuck in, like, oh, what will people think about my appearance?
And anyway, so I guess the weirdest thing I'm doing is getting LASIK, but I've just been in these glasses working out. They fog up. It's just, I'm telling you guys, I went into my dishwasher to try to clean it. It was too hot. My glasses are like, I can't see.
That is so funny.
And they're like sometimes falling off because they're kind of loose. You know, you have to go get them tightened. Like,
I think they work for you.
Well, thank you, but they're going.
They're going to be gone. All right.
They make me too, like, tired. I get tired eyes.
Maybe. I mean, it's so hard.
It's very warm behind this glass. I have a thick frame.
At least they keep you warm in the cold winter.
They do. Okay, so what's the weird thing about you, Samantha?
Here's a weird thing that I've, like, been noticing, because, so, like, as my wedding's getting closer.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of questions of, like, are you excited? Blah, blah, blah. People got, like, invitations. And I've really been, like, tamping down my excitement, like, purposefully. And I don't know if it's weird or not, because as, like, obviously, just based on this conversation, you can guess that my mind goes to like, what will go wrong? What will go wrong? What will I be unhappy about? Mm-hmm. Like, what issues will come up? Like, will there, you know, what will make me sad on that day? What, you know, like my dad's going to come. I literally haven't seen my dad in 2 years. Maybe I think I'm going to go to dinner with him before, like in my head. But like, I'm nervous for that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, obviously there's like an element where like Avi's family is religious. So there's going to be like the ceremony is going to be religious. Like, I'm nervous about like just sort of like integrating those two things of like the wedding that we really want with like what will make them happy. So like, those are like big things I'm nervous about. Like the big pieces, and then just like small things that, you know, go wrong. Oh, you have to pay $1 billion for this new thing, like that kind of thing. So everyone asked me like, oh, are you so excited? My mom literally texts me all fucking day. Do you like these earrings? Do you like these shoes? What about this for Sunday night? What about this for Saturday night? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, will not fucking stop. She is basically the bride. Like, she's acting like a bride. Like, I almost posted a text from her, like, because she asks me constantly all fucking day. Like, who's the bride in this situation?
What does she say? What is the text?
Oh my god!
I will do a live reading.
Yes. Okay. This is like what I.
I'm dying. Let me. Oh wow! She said, selfie.
Oh, all fucking. Oh, these.
Oh,
are,
but you're sending selfies.
No, but that was just on my teeth to see if I should get more veneers. another weird thing I do is obsess over every tiny little thing about my appearance. Okay, so pretty, right? I think with the blue dress for Sunday and with the silver shoes, and I have to figure out any other jewelry. And Saturday will be the white dress with gold, the pink Gucci shoes, gold earrings. I have to pick from what's coming soon, and other jewels I may want. Also, hair half up on Sunday so I can wear the silver clip. I'm like, what fucking silver clip are you talking about?
She's excited.
Okay, so that's like bride talk.
And what did you say?
I need a photo. I thought Sunday is the floral dress.
Oh my god!
What, a different outfit for each night? Yes. Although I like the floral more, the blue one looks better on me, more flattering, and I think I like it. So I'm okay looking better.
It's so picks funny. To come,
waiting on my Skims and Gucci's that I can dress properly.
Skims and, you can and Gucci's. I'm dying. Who has she become?
She's very excited.
She's that very
excited. That I can dress properly. And you can really my see. Skims. Although I probably won't have a bra yet, but Skims will help. The blue has flower appliques and it goes with those little blue-green buds.
I just have to say, Kim Kardashian is doing a great job changing the conversation amazing. From Skims, from Spanx to Skims.
Yeah.
She's... I mean,
my mom asked me to wait online at Nordstrom for Skims. I'm like, do you know I have a job? You don't have a job.
Can't you just order them?
Apparently, I don't fucking know.
I'm just
know.
Saying, like, the robe is so comfortable.
I would love some Skims. Kim, if you're listening, get us the robes. But, send okay, so I have been like, every time someone
so
asks me, I'm like,
it's a weird thing.
It's that I'm like afraid to be excited for my wedding.
That's not weird.
No, I don't. I,
that's not
it's
weird
for me.
But it's you're, you don't want to be too excited. You want to set yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
Literally, back when I was dating Rusty, he'd be like, are you excited? How excited are you? I'm like, chill the fuck out. Like, I can't talk about how excited I am until I am literally there.
Yeah.
And no. I'm experiencing it. We can't set ourselves up for disappointment. He's like, you're dark.
No, I get moments of excitement. But I'm really trying. I'm afraid of having like post-wedding depression. And I think that the more I focus on like the wedding. No, but maybe I won't if I'm like so focused on like after. Because like then after it's just like, oh, every day. There's no like big party. This is the last huge party until like, I don't know.
It's going to happen regardless. I'm telling you, I also actively thought. But think about all this time that you've been spending thinking about your appearance.
Oh,
your every like little tiny like. Kind of superficial thing. Like I did it too.
Yeah.
And it just because you're not just it's not the day. Like even if you tell yourself it's just a day, sure, it's just a day, but just an ordinary day.
just trying to get by.
But regardless, you still have a whole year plus of all the
ramping
thought,
up
of the thinking, and you're and it feels like what at first I felt really relieved. But then it creeps up. It's just like, now I'm at, like, now I just did the thing that I've been thinking about my whole, like, life.
Right.
And it's kind of crazy. And now you have to think about, like, not, like, what's the next superficial thing I can be excited about? But it's like, how do I, you have to, like, shift
work
your mind.
Work on your marriage.
Well, but it's not even that. You have to shift your mind about your focus used to be on something that's a year away. And now it has to be, how do I stay present?
Yes.
And that's really, it's hard. Like you feel a real down, and it's not from like the excitement of planning a day. It's the excitement of looking ahead for so long. And then it passes. And then you're just like, it's exactly as it was before.
Yeah.
And then you just have to like work on the present. And that's when all the work comes in.
Yeah, no, so that's what I'm...
But there will be a lull. And just just ride it.
Just ride the lull.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Although I guess you're saying it's not really that weird, but like, I'm just trying to like,
it's also not weird to wear glasses, but you know.
Right. Trying to keep it down. Okay. Yeah. We'll do your DMs another time. Honestly, yeah. They're good DMs.
We'll share DM. We'll do a DM episode. And we won't talk about ourselves. We'll do a DM episode in the future.
We're itching to talk about ourselves because we have only had guests.
We're itching. Gotta scratch that
also,
itch.
Also, a lot of these questions like require a therapist or could be benefit from a therapist.
We should save them for a therapist episode.
Yeah. Should we have a therapist?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if she'd come.
Okay.
But I love her. She's fun. She's just like a great gal.
Okay. Have her on.
I don't even want to call her a gal. She's like a doctor.
Gal/doctor. Yeah. Doctors can be gals. Okay. Yeah. Let's do some non-scale wins because I'm really excited to share mine.
Yeah. Are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to hear? I have three. Wait,
are we reading it first? Or?
Oh, let's. Okay, fine. Let's read it. You read it.
Okay. Listener non-scale win. Hey, Lena and Sammy. Just want to say I love the podcast. I've been listening to every episode. My non-scale win this week was going jean shopping and not getting upset when a pair of jeans didn't fit me. Normally, I leave the store in tears because the size that used to fit me doesn't fit me anymore, but not this time. This time, I accepted the changes in my body, reminded myself that I am working towards my goals and making healthier choices, working out, eating healthier. And it's okay if my pants are a little tight right now. I ended up gaining some weight this past year that I'm slowly trying to lose, but I'm trying to do it in a sustainable way and look at it as living a healthier lifestyle rather than just trying to lose weight. Again, love the podcast and can't wait for more episodes.
I can totally relate because the jeans I'm wearing today, I pulled out from like the pile of clothes that I was selling because I lost weight and I put them on and you know what? I was like, great, new pair of jeans. And they fit.
Well, okay. So last week, my non-scale win was about my jeans.
Yeah.
I want to add an addendum to that because I didn't know this at the time.
Addend.
Okay. My jeans, they went from not fitting to fitting. My weight on the scale, exact same.
Yeah.
Exact same. So the scale is a lie. It's irrelevant.
If you're working out, it changed, your body changes.
Yeah. So scale, fuck the scale.
Fuck the scale. Well, okay. Not scale wins.
Yeah.
Can I go?
Yeah.
Okay. I have three. Okay.
Three. Oh,
one. And they all happen in a period of like 2 days. Okay.
Maybe
one.
Marielle like hit your energy the right way.
I really, she's in Israel right now. She's on Birthright.
Oh. Oh, wow. Isn't How'd she cool? get on Birthright at our age?
They have a trip now up to 32.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. She's excited. Okay.
She's one. I bet you she like goes and like meets some rabbi and like who knows what's going to happen. No,
I don't know.
We'll see.
I'll let you know. Okay.
I love that she can be open to that kind of shit.
Yeah, she's very. Okay, yeah. Number one. This morning, I did a Peloton class and I wasn't going to work out at all. But I was like, I had some time and I like physically had a conversation in my head about like, do it, don't do it. You're going to be happy if you do it. Ugh, but how much better will you feel if you don't? Just like stay. And I was like, okay, I'm going to walk my dog and I'm just going to do it. And guess what did I do? I beat my personal record of output that I've been trying for a really long time to beat. And I did it. And I was so proud of myself. So that was one.
That's great. You didn't even half-ass it.
I didn't half-ass it. I just like kept going. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to beat it. I'm going to beat it. Keep going.
That's motivating. Everyone should remember that story.
Yeah. Step two. At Live, Matt was like, I posted the push-ups, my push-ups video. But just want to say, that is the first time I've ever done like 12 push-ups in a row without stopping, just like going 1, 2, 3, 4, like doing it. And he's like, holy shit, like keep going. And I was like, okay. And I just kept going. And it was the best feeling because like he's like, we're peaking, Aileen. So motivated.
Do you think that you're getting stronger because you're eating more?
Possibly. Step three. To add to that, the other day I ordered sushi, but instead of just going like sashimi, like rice route, which is like sort of the safe, you know, gray area that I would go, you know,
not even, but yeah, I know what you're
it
saying.
It is because it's like you only allow yourself to one section of the menu because think that like this is the spa menu. You know,
that's
healthy.
The example of the disordered eating. That's not an eating disorder, but it is like
the gray area.
Up.
The
gray
area.
Oh, that's what you mean. The gray.
Yeah,
area.
Yeah.
Okay.
The gray area.
I thought you meant the gray area of the menu.
Oh well,
I was like, that's the healthy part of the menu.
That's what I'm saying is like you only allow your. I only allow myself sashimi and a little rice. Like this time, I've never ordered sushi from takeout.
Ooh,
like
yum.
The rice pieces, and I was like
why a special roll.
Like no, like the. Like nigiri.
Okay.
Like I don't fuck with rolls.
Oh,
like
rolls
I'm not there yet in my personal like
they're
development.
The best, though.
No, but I'm not there yet and I like sushi more than I like rolls. So I ordered it and It was great. Like, yeah. I didn't feel any like guilt or anything. I was just like, great, I ate these sushis.
And they were good.
And they were good. And it's possible that I'm able to be stronger because I'm eating more.
Yes. I honestly think probably because like, I think
made homemade spaghetti the other day. I think it was fucking amazing.
I think when we're not eating, we don't even or eating as many calories as we should have. Like, we're not even realizing the effect it's having on like the day-to-day functioning.
Yeah. Or like, I think it's the quality of food that's also really important.
Yeah.
Which is I'm working on like doing like a good balance and cooking more, which is a big goal for 2020. Yes. It's working.
I want to become like a cook, but like I don't have any ideas in my head.
That's perfectionism.
You're right.
I've gone through that.
Yeah.
It's okay to like, make just some chicken nuggets.
Great cook.
It's okay. So those are my wins. That's great. So happy. Okay, that's you great. Go.
Well, speaking of sushi non-scale wins, when we went out to dinner the other night, like I got brown rice, which was like that was a
great
win.
Influence.
You were. No, like I got brown rice. I never do because I'm like, fuck brown rice. I want white rice.
Yeah.
That's my good. Usual. It was great. And I did eat less, like you said.
Yeah, because it fills you up.
I can go with brown rice like more now.
Sometimes. Like if you're, that's why I was in the mood. I didn't want brown rice. Like I usually, that's, you know, and I got the sushis.
Yeah.
Sorry for you saying that. I just think it's funny.
No, I agree. My second or my personal non-scale win is that on Saturday, I made calls for Elizabeth Warren campaign. And honestly, like, the reason it's a win is not because like, oh, I like persuaded voters. Like I didn't persuade anyone. I got like 20 voicemails and like had 5 conversations.
That's a lot.
I mean, it's crazy. Like hearing people's like weird opinions and like everyone's so different. Like just the way they think about things is fascinating. Like actually talking to like voters and not just like me.
Wait,
and me,
so
my friends.
Like called people?
I literally called randos in New Hampshire.
You cold my called?
Cold calls. My first call was with an 80-year-old Jewish guy, and he and I had a conversation about the end of democracy for like 6 minutes. And I was like, I gotta go to my next person.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's like a new experience. You've never done that before.
Never in my life. But the reason that
you probably loved
the
it. Reason well, you loved it.
It's intimidating. It's very intimidating. Like they give you a script, but it's highly intimidating. The reason it's a win is because this is something that is so uncomfortable for me, the thought of like calling strangers and talking to them and like
it's so
for a political campaign that like I'm not like 100% well versed on like all of Elizabeth Warren's plans and like you know it's so I said I'm doing this for 1 hour, like I'm gonna not stop when I get like, you know, anxious about it, and I did it for a full hour.
That's amazing. And did you convince anyone?
I don't know if I convinced someone, but there was someone who, there was like this guy who was a Bernie supporter, and he's like, honestly, I'll support anyone in the race except for Tom Steyer. And then he was like, you know, I'd really support anyone. He's like, my wife's a Warren supporter. And I kind of was like, I left it with like, let your wife convince you. I don't think I like convinced that. Most people, you're just seeing if they're going to vote in the primary.
Oh, okay.
That's really what you're asking. You're like, I'm calling.
Is this polling?
No. It's just like trying to get people to go vote, and you're saying I'm calling from the Elizabeth Warren campaign.
Okay.
And you're also trying to get information like who, like you're supposed to like ask. The script is basically like, hi, I'm calling from Elizabeth Warren for New Hampshire. Are you planning to vote in the primary on Tuesday? They say like, yes. And some of them will be like, I'm not telling you who I'm voting for. Yeah. Some will say who they're supporting. And you're also supposed to ask like what issues are most important to you, and they all said like getting Trump out. I'm like, okay, yeah, same. And then you're supposed to be like, just leave them info, like you're supposed to find out like, if do you want to ride to the polls, do you like want to know about more events in the area. It's like, it's, you're not really pitching the candidate, you're really more just like calling on
getting
behalf
info.
Of the campaign, getting info, trying to like spread info, get people to vote, basically.
Got it. That's a great
crazy.
Win. That's doing anything new, like
it
whatever
was,
it is, like just doing a new thing that you've never done before in like your 30 years of living is crazy.
It was intimidating.
Well, congrats.
Thank you. And there's like a whole computer system. Whoa. It's crazy.
Wow.
It was
a computer
crazy.
System.
No, but no, it's like.
I get it. It's a new interface to have to use.
Yeah, like an old woman like trying to figure out like the site. I'm like, where does it go?
Control, Alt, Delete.
Yeah. So yeah. That was
Congrats.
My on-scale win. Thank you. And if anyone wants to know how to do it, it doesn't have to be Elizabeth Warren, obviously. I could tell you.
Yeah. DM Sammy. Also, have you seen those like really funny Mike Bloomberg
Oh, yeah.
like memes?
Yeah.
He's paying memers to make him seem cool, but the memes themselves are actually very funny.
Because they're a little self-aware.
They're really self-aware.
Yeah.
They're really funny. Like the kale salad one, I laughed out loud about.
I will say that Mike Bloomberg is my second choice. If, you know, we can't have Elizabeth Warren, we can't have principles, we can at least have money.
Yeah.
And that is how I see things.
Yeah.
And yeah, very exciting.
Very exciting.
Also, just FYI, we will be doing a lot with the election through Betches.
Yes.
And so look out for that and let us know if you want to be more involved.
Yeah. If you don't know how to register, you'll be able to do that through Betches. You'll be able to do a lot of amazing stuff in the next few months. Yes. So definitely look out. And yeah, this has been a fun episode, Saman.
I know. Next time we'll get to the DMs. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll get to the DMs next time, and maybe we'll have a little
what
help
was this
with
episode
a therapist.
About?
Literally zero clue. all right, guys, email us dst@betches.com. Please rate, review, subscribe. Just go to your iTunes if you love the podcast. Give us 5 stars. Leave a little review. Tell us why you like it. Join our Facebook group. It's Diet Stars Tomorrow. We're on Facebook. There's great conversations. I love a community. Follow me and Sammy at Aileen at Sammy. Follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram. DM us whatever you want us to talk about. Carly's there listening. That was great, wasn't it?
Yes. You like did like we're did so bad
all.
At promoting.
I did it all.
But you just did it.
That was great. All right, guys.
We're always with you.
Through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is hosted by Aileen Cooperman
and Sammy Fishbine.
Our editor is Sean Kilby. Our podcast producers are Mike Coscarelli, Sean Kilby, and Carly Rice.
And artwork is by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram and email your questions and non-scale wins to dst@betches.com.
Betches.